Hey, it's Sloney on the Big 1-700 WLW. It's on my Facebook wall, Scott Sloan. One of the many likes that I have, Butler County Sheriff's Office, they had posted their weekly wanted, right? This is from last week. Rex Oliver Farmer, wanted for felony non-support of child. He's believed to work being construction and home repair jobs, possibly home siding, to avoid paying child support. So he's working on the side for cash and not paying his child support. He's wanted by the Butler County Sheriff's Department. And what's not interesting about the story is, okay, yeah, it's published one of the latest posts here, and don't approach the guy. He may be considered dangerous of what I don't know, but wanted by Jonesy. But the comments are interesting because almost all of the comments exclusively say things like, well, debtors' prisons are and should be illegal. Is he working those jobs to avoid support payments or because he has nothing to live on after it's taken out of his check? I pay almost 50% of my take-home pay and child support to a woman who's married and her husband makes a lot of money, et cetera, and goes on. And I think that's a legitimate complaint that you hear from a lot of guys. A man who would know all about this, of course, is and he represents, normally his clients tend to be men, and that is Joe Cordell from Cordell & Cordell here in Cincinnati and Westchester. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Now, you heard the intro to the show here, and this has got to be pretty common when you hear these things. I'm sure as an attorney you can't recommend your clients don't pay, but when you hear the horror stories out there the guys face, to me, I get why they wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, the issue about completing payment has been controversial, and it does bring up the sort of debtor's prison phenomenon that we as a nation decided to dump years ago, because it's such a subjective decision whether or not a guy can in fact afford to pay. So if a guy's unemployed, the court has the power to say, well, look, we think that you should be employed and we think you can get a meaningful job, and so you should go to jail as a result of being behind in support. And so there are strong opinions on both sides, but there's no question that it raises that specter, because there are abuses all the time. Guys who genuinely cannot keep current. Of course, we all agree, to the extent guys can afford to pay for their children, they should. We all agree with that. But we equally agree, I hope, that moms, to the extent they can preserve dad's relationship with the kids, if mom's the primary custodial parent, to the extent she can preserve that relationship and facilitate dad's interaction with those kids, that duty should be no less important than his duty to pay support. Unfortunately, one, has 10 agencies enforcing it, and the other, the guy's on his own to figure it out.
I hear that occasionally from guys like, well, listen, I'm up in my child support about more than half of what I go towards towards supporting my child. She is since remarried or living with someone, and she's okay. And I get it's my obligation, but, here I am living in a one-bedroom apartment, and she's, kind of living the upgraded life. There's a sense of imbalance there. Further, when you're barely left with enough money to survive, that doesn't incentivize me working harder to make up the difference.
Yeah, you're right. And when you have tables and you have charts that calculate what a child support obligation is, the fact is that most of those are founded on the policy goal of preserving for the child the same standard of living that would have existed if there weren't a divorce. And the fact is now you have two households being supported by the same combined income. And the reality is, the way this would happen in the real world if the couple had stayed together and hit hard times or we go through a recession, is that the child, makes the sacrifices that the parents make. But with this policy aspiration that the children are not to experience reduction in child support, it's entirely on the shoulders and the backs of these guys, not on the mom.
Typically, in a case you hear like this, without knowing all the details, Joe Cordell, here's a guy who's working construction, home repair jobs, maybe putting siding on. Is he doing that possibly like on the side to supplement his income so he can, at least have a decent quality of life? And obviously the mom found out and she's thinking she's entitled to some of that money.
Yeah, and it's another characteristic of the way that child support is calculated and the way that the statutes read. Statute reads that any source of income is to be considered in child support determination. So it disincentivizes guys who are out there, they've moved on, the wife, you're right, has probably remarried, And so let's assume that the guy doesn't have primary custody. If it's left up to us, we would love to see the guys have primary custody. But let's assume he doesn't. So the guy has moved on, and he has a disincentive to be a more productive member of the economy, because a larger and larger share of every dollar he will be contributing to the child slash mother. In other words, it goes into the mother's household, which means that even this new guy, to some extent, experiences the benefit of this money coming into the household. So it's just it's a system with entirely the wrong incentives.
And it's kind of backwards. Is there an incentive for the court and the legislative branch and bodies to fix and remedy this?
Well, you know, you have all this institutional inertia. They're familiar with the premises that have been around for 30 years, and the social scientists, you know, have declared that this is the way it should be. So as a result, special interest groups, the judges' colleges and others, you know, have assembled themselves around this system. So it's going to be very difficult to turn it upside down. Even these gender assumptions. I mean, things that we've discarded gender bias in virtually every other sector of our society, but it still lingers in this one area, and where it pertains to the guy's rights and privileges and obligations in family court.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing. We're worried about, and this is going to be a big focus of the campaign, obviously, presidential campaign coming up, in gender equality and equity and fairness and all that, and yet no one ever brings this issue up when it comes to the great imbalance in family court law. So much so, Joe Cordell, this is what you guys are, Cordell and Cordell, have hung your hat on. It's representing men.
Yeah, it's true. 98% of our clients are men, or maybe even 99%. But yeah, it's funny that whenever you hear the word gender equality, what that translates to is rights for women. And of course, we applaud that. I mean, we applaud the fact that women are now in many cases on a perfectly level playing field in the marketplace. But let's aspire to a level playing field in family courts as well.
And that's fine, too. You know, no one wants to see a dad who goes around impregnating women skipping out of his obligation for the rest of us to pick up the tab for. And the kid starts behind the eight ball. The mom is trying to do what she can do. And we see that sad story repeated so many times across the country to the detriment of a generation. And I believe that to be true. However, I don't get the punitive punishment. It seems punitive in a lot of these cases where the dads that are willing to pay are put the screws to.
And it is, but what people have to be mindful of, and people who've not been through this, people who've been through the process get it, but people who haven't are standing back and wondering what's the fuss about. Well, I mean, I think that any respectable guy who is divorced and has children is going to concede that, yeah, if he doesn't have primary custody, he has an obligation to provide support to the extent that he can, as long as the support is reasonable and goes to the benefit of the child. But equally important is that other aspect of the equation, the responsibilities on the other side of the table, which he's pretty much left on his own to enforce. I mean, this is a big issue. Women can call on a legion of state officials, federal officials, local officials, private groups to enforce her rights for support. And she can do that virtually with no money out of her pocket. And by contrast, the guy has to assemble thousands of dollars from income, incidentally. Remember, he doesn't have because of the child support. He has to assemble his own funds to go into court and battle over perhaps a year his denial of visitation. So many guys just walk away. It's not practical for them to enforce their rights of visitation.
Joe Cordell on the show this morning on 700 WLW. Typically, when they talk deadbeat dad, can you give me some statistics on that? Are they generally poor men?
Well, you know, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I'm glad you brought that up, because I recently wrote an article about this that I think is on our website. It's probably on dadsdivorce.com.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but the statistics were astounding. Guys who are permitted visitation with their kids, the amount of child support arrearage goes down dramatically. I mean, it's a small minority of dads who are not paying their support when they're given access to their children. Many of the dads, and I'm not saying I approve of this, but many dads, you know, to some extent are frustrated because of their denial of access to their kids, and as a result, they respond by not paying support or just disappearing or throwing up their hands. Those numbers are, in fact, in large part, a product of the sort of bias, the gender bias in the system itself.
Yeah, and I think that's the case here, too, is that if you're engaging your kid's life, I think it feels, it shouldn't get down to this, but, you know, you think about it, you're paying all this money generally as a father, as a man, so that your child, who you still love but simply have fallen out of love with the mom, wants to go about their life and enjoy a visitation and be an active participant in their kid's life. And, you know, if you don't pay, there's, as you said, multiple agencies within the government to come after you to get the money out of you, the last of which, of course, is threatening you with arrest. But if the mother withholds visitation by order of the same court, what's generally done about that?
Well, first of all, nothing happens. The guy can't pick up a phone and have some official go to work on his behalf. What the guy has to do is he has to go to a lawyer's office, write a check for $3,000 to $5,000 probably, and then a petition is filed. Over a period of months, it's going to work its way through the slow course of court systems, and then he'll probably get a day in court maybe 3 to 6 months later. By then, you know, the judge may yawn at something that perhaps, you know, there's an argument as to who had the child available when, or maybe the mother denies it, or perhaps she says, yeah, Judge, I did it on that one occasion, but I've not done it since. So the guy's in this position at the threshold. Does he even bother when he's looking at that sort of road in front of him? And furthermore, where does he get the $3,500 or $4,000?
Yeah, and right. Where you get that money in the first place? It's not like, you know, you have an endless supply of money in the case, but yeah, it goes to show you. It feels like a bait and switch thing, like almost like I'm being duped, or I give all this money, and the idea is I'm allowed to, you know, spend some quality time with my kids. Because that's an important aspect of the life, and that would be having a mom and a dad, and it's being withheld because of some grudge that the spouse, the ex-spouse, may have. And to me, that's just as wrong as not paying. But the courts really don't care. It goes to show you, Joe, is in their eyes, it's all a money-making scheme, isn't it? I mean, not to belabor the point or certainly make light of it, but, you know, you have attorneys like yourself. You have a legal system in a court. You have court-appointed individuals who make money off of this thing. Is there more money in breaking families up and doing this and theirs keeping them together?
Well, you know, it does appear there is. I mean, you have the social workers who are employed, you know, have battalions of psychologists who participate in the process, guardians ad litem, special interest groups, many women's groups, incidentally, not many men's. So, yeah, there are tons of money that is being spread around over this matter. And in the meantime, dads are left broke and without access to their kids.
Yeah, and that's the wrong here, too. And it doesn't seem like there's many advocates for that in the system, is there?
No, there aren't. And let me, though, you know, I've been making some assumptions in many of my complaints here, mm-hmm. and they're fair assumptions, and that's that more likely than not it's mom that has primary custody and dad that doesn't.
Typically.
Let me hurry to add that is changing. I mean, the good news is we're starting to see more dads get primary custody, and that's really the best way to nip this in the bud, is to give dads a fair hearing at the divorce trial and allow them an opportunity to really be heard and really be considered as a primary custodial parent on equal footing with mom. And then you'll see more dads getting primary custody, and then suddenly the shoe will be on the other foot, and mom will appreciate the importance of access to their children. And that, yeah, indeed, that is as important as paying child support.
In the case that got my interest here, Joe Cordell, finally from Cordell and Cordell, the case of a Rex Oliver farmer wanted for felony non-support a child, that this guy is doing, you know, jobs on the side, home repair, construction, making some money. I never understood this. If you're not paying your bill, in a sense, that's what's going on here. Why would you put someone in jail? Because the chances of him paying it are much better when you're out of jail and employed. If you go behind bars, that's something else the rest of us have to pay for. It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. I'll tell you what a judge said to me one time about that, and I know that it reflects the attitude of many judges, and that's that they have this cynical view that somewhere between the courthouse and the jailhouse, the guy finds the money. And what that means is when they order the guy handcuffed in the courtroom, and I've seen this happen, and taken away and off to the city jail, then you know, over the next hour or week, the money appears from family. It's not that the guy has the money right sitting in a bank account. I mean, it's that, gee, his mother, you know, may mortgage her house. may turn over her retirement money. I mean, that's not an acceptable solution to the problem. So it's not really, it's not achieving the purpose of the guy providing the money. It's people that with the, you know, that are dear to him or that love him,
right,
who may be making sacrifices that they should not be forced to make because he's lying in jail. So it's not an acceptable solution. And I think we were right when we decided that debtor's prison is not something that we want associated with our system of government.
But this sure seems a lot like debtor's prison if you're sending a guy to jail for non-support of a child.
And incidentally, debtor's prison was founded on the same assumption, is that you send the guy to jail, and you know, many people would ask the question you asked, but interestingly, often the money did appear, but it appeared by his loved ones having to mortgage and sell everything they have, mm-hmm, or to work 12-hour days to get him out of prison. So that's not a system that I think we want to emulate.
But again, at the odds of changing this thing are slim, I think, simply because you follow the trail of money, and those who have the most to gain have the most to protect. Joe Cordell from Cordell & Cordell here in Cincinnati and Westchester. Thanks again. I appreciate you coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Have a good day. There you go. 10 minutes away from news, and I guess we can, you know, talk about this particular issue here. Is there a better solution to this? Do you see this as an issue of, hey, the guy is shirking his responsibilities, he's got kids to provide for, and he's a deadbeat dad? Or do you go, I wonder if there's a reason why a guy like this farmer dude is not owning up to the child support? You'd like to think that, I guess, maybe the conventional wisdom and the stereotype is that he is a, you know, a womanizer who is running around loose and simply has no morals whatsoever and couldn't care less about providing for the children that he left behind. And I'm sure in many cases that's true. But it can't be true in all cases when you think about the flow of cash. As Joe said, and he has a life of experience in courtrooms representing men in family court, and that is that if the judges in the courts, if the social workers, if the attorneys for the defense and for the state, if all of the advocates for the children and the family, all of the people who administer the funds and the check, and you get mailed a check to the county, and all those people derive income from your divorce, isn't there more incentive to break families up than keep them together? 513-749-7000, 800-THE-BIG-1, pound 700, AT&T, Sloney, 700.